So have you had your fair share of Mickey and Minnie and Pluto and Goofy?
You make it sound so dirty, John. I just went to Disneyland. It wasn't some weird sex thing.
No, now I have images of Minnie and Mickey doing unmentionable things to each other. Oh, stop, please. Get out of my head. And Pluto's in there too. No. Stop. So you had a fun day yesterday?
It was fun. Yeah. It was fun. Yeah. I mean, we couldn't find out where the orgy was, but at the Renaissance Fair, it's easier to find, right?
Right, absolutely. Sure.
At Disneyland, it's like, wait, is it back at the hotel or is it?
It's in the underground caverns, isn't it?
The teacup ride. I think it's in Space Mountain.
The teacup ride, I made the mistake when I was probably in my mid-30s of going on the teacup ride with my son and tried to go as fast as we possibly could.
Right.
And I could not walk for about an hour. I was dizzy. I was nauseous.
Yeah.
It was a big mistake. Fun for him, not so much fun for me.
Yeah, well, as long as you didn't upchuck anything.
No, none of that.
Everyone wins.
But it was, the equilibrium was out of whack for quite a while.
Yeah, we were looking around the edge of the teacup ride for like the spill area, but we're unable to find it.
I've seen people get off of roller coaster rides and throw up right as soon as they stepped off the ride.
Yeah.
Which is always fun.
I don't think Disneyland has any rides that are like that
intense. No, no. But I love it when they have to throw out that smelly sawdust stuff and, and absorb it and sweep it away. Ugh. You know someone's puked as soon as you smell that thing. It's like, oh no, there's puke somewhere nearby.
Yeah. Smells like home.
Yes. So this is episode 65 of Foul Territory, baseball podcast.
Wow, 65.
Yeah, it is the James Paxton episode.
Are you kidding?
In honor. Yes, number 65.
Is he number 65?
He is number 65, and number 65 threw a no-no just last night.
That's right.
So it's a double honor to honor him.
In a way, though, 65. It was a no-no A.
It was a no-no A.
Got to call it a no-no A.
Did you see the replay or footage of him celebrating? He looked like he was surprised that he did it.
Yeah.
Most people are like excited. He was, and he kind of looked at the catcher like, did we just do something cool? It was kind of weird. But he really got into it. And of course, you know, I saw he was pointing to his maple leaf tattoo on his arm and acknowledging the crowd. And I saw different crowd reactions. I saw some Toronto fans clapping because obviously he's from Canada. And I saw others shaking their heads and pounding their fists. And they were just hoping it would get broken up.
And smashing their maple syrup bottles.
Right, right. But yeah, 99 pitches.
Yeah, under 100 efficient pitches game. For a no-hitter.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. And great defense, too.
Yeah.
Seager made a couple of fantastic plays during the game, too.
Yeah, that was pretty incredible.
Yeah, especially that Donaldson hit a rope.
Yeah.
That was one of those.
And the listeners right now are just kind of like, yeah, that is really interesting.
It is interesting. Go back and watch the replays. It's good stuff.
Thanks for the description of your opinion of highlights.
So then let's talk about the Iran deal.
You mean the deal that was never ratified by the U.S. Congress and so was easily dismantled by literally the whim of anyone who came along in that office?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you building bomb shelter? Are you getting your survival kits out?
Oh, am I supposed to now be worried about Iran? Were people not worried about Iran like a week ago? Because they should have been worried about Iran.
I've never been worried about Iran.
But I'm just saying, if you're worried now... You should have been worried a week ago. It's Iran.
Right.
Go watch Argo.
Absolutely. As long as Ben Affleck's around to get me out, I feel good.
I don't know if he will. Have you seen that back tattoo? That is a troubled man.
I haven't. He got a tattoo?
Okay. Ben Affleck has a gigantic phoenix back tattoo. Oof. Not like this is one of those ones that's like all over his back.
It's like a three-trip tattoo?
Yeah. Wow. Like, he's like the guy in prison who you're like, oh, stay away from that guy.
Wow, that must be a hot ticket with the ladies.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Ben Affleck, so people are like, he's probably going to be fine.
Batman doesn't have tattoos.
No, Batman has lots of tattoos.
Does he?
Yeah.
They're just hidden by the suit?
But it's like mom, right? And it's like, yeah, he covers it up with a suit. That's why he has all those long sleeves.
There you go. That makes a lot of sense. He probably has some weird prison tattoos, too.
Yeah, I would never get a tattoo because I wouldn't want to have to alter my wardrobe like most people do. Like, oh, I got a tattoo on my upper arm, so now I can only wear sleeveless shirts.
Right, it's like the people that get the side of the neck tattoo.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Yachty or Molina. You know, you can't not see that.
Yeah.
You know, it's always
there. Best part about that is you're just saying, like, you know what? I'm totally happy with having a glass ceiling of career success.
Right, I can.
I've just cut out about 70% of all job opportunities. I'm just trying to narrow it down.
Right.
I'm just trying to narrow it down. We were going to promote you to manager, but you have a python growing up the side of your face.
Especially the people that get the full face tattoos. What are you thinking?
Well, those guys aren't thinking. Those guys are on meth.
Right.
They're thinking, where can I get more meth?
Yeah, and more tattoos. Because at some point, when you know, the thing about tattoos, that the big, massive ones, is that as you get older, they kind of just get all muddy.
Yeah.
And especially when the skin, you know, when you're 75 years old and you got a full back tattoo, I'm sure it doesn't look anything like what it used to.
Right.
It probably looks like a melting tattoo.
Yeah, you might have to get it retouched or something.
Yes. Yeah. So are we ready to get into some baseball stuff? Let's do it. Let's see what we got going on.
We got good news and we got bad news this week.
One thing I didn't say is that I'm John Sumpel. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
There we go. So, yeah, a lot of stuff. And probably for me, one of the most exciting things was as I was at the game when Pujols got his 3,000th hit.
You're making this about you already, John?
Already. It was awesome. So much fun.
Well, I watched it on television. So that's how it's about me now.
No, exciting.
I actually saw that you posted you were there. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, once I was watching the game the night before and saw that he didn't get in his final at bat, he didn't get the hit, so he was stuck at 2,999. I'm like, we're going tomorrow, just in case. And it was at first at the game, I thought it was like a cheap hit, but then when I saw the replay, he went down and got that pitch, and you know that was a good hit. But initially, it looked like it was a cheapie.
Yeah,
but yeah, he's an awesome. Just
3,000 hits. Is it 600 home runs or 500 home runs?
600, yeah. There's only four players in the club that he's in right now. And the bigger one who wrote the article? Rob. Rob wrote on our website, foul-territory.com, is the big one is the 2,000 RBIs.
Yeah.
And that's coming up probably late this year, but maybe early next year if he keeps going. That's a pretty big, to be 600 home runs, 3,000 hits, 2,000 RBIs. That's rarefied air.
Yeah. I mean, you know me, I'm more of a new stat kind of a guy. But those are all just such incredible accumulated numbers.
Yeah, those are longevity and productivity numbers.
Yeah.
And obviously, he's been in the decline for the last 4 or 5 years. But,
yes.
You know, that 10-year stretch, he was one of the most dominant players to ever play the game.
Yes, I agree.
Very good. Congratulations to Albert.
Speaking of dominant players to play the game.
And fading.
Faded.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, it was interesting if we're talking about Ichiro. Shifting from unceremoniously from playing on the bench player to a undefined kind of do whatever you want kind of role in the front office, assistant to the CEO or the, you know, chairman of the board type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, he says he's not retiring, but this is a retirement. Like when you're playing terribly and no team in the league wants you, you can't fire me cause I quit.
I think what they're doing though is they kick off next year in Japan. They have a 2-game series with the A's to start the season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what they're doing is they're basically saying, we'll keep you, you know, with us, and then we'll reinstate you for those 2 games, and then you can have your official retirement afterward. So I'm assuming that's the plan.
But here's the thing. Like, why would you do that? But who cares? Like, win games. He's bad at baseball.
But he's one of those people that it's his whole life and his a disciplined approach to baseball. I just don't think he knows what to do now.
I'm just talking about the team. Who cares about his feelings? He's a multimillionaire.
Right. But he's, well, I'm just thinking about from his point of view is that he's just like, what do I do now?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So he's just, and he's very disciplined player.
Yeah. And I feel like he would add little value as a front office person, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, he's... He basically is going to roam around.
He's such a
unicorn,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's such a, like, what is he going to do? Teach people to bat like he used to bat? Like, you can't do that.
No. So, but he's going to be kind of, he's been highly regarded when he was with the Yankees, the Marlins, and with back with Seattle is his bench presence.
Sure.
And, you know, he brings a lot of experience. He brings, I mean, in his limited English. I don't know if, you know.
Well, that's the other thing, right? He doesn't really speak it fluently. I mean, he speaks it, but it's not. That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe he should just go back to Japan. Not go. That sounds awful. Maybe he should go back to Japan. Maybe he should go back where he came from.
Raising your fist. Everybody picture Jed raising his fist. Get off my lawn, Ichiro.
To the Japanese league, I meant. And manage there. Like, that. That's...
That's
he can still play there, you know, like he's still good enough to play there.
Yeah, that's a possibility that he, well, there was a lot of talk about him going there when nobody was interested in him during the offseason, and then nobody was interested in him over in Japan either. So that tells a story.
Well, maybe over in Korea now that Donald Trump has brought world peace to freedom to Korea, he can go like, hey, you know.
We'll see.
It's so weird that he's actually being a little bit effective about certain things. Anyway.
Despite himself,
yes. You're fired. it's a reality show guy. Anyway, all right. Speaking of reality shows, what's happening with the Braves?
The Braves, they have been the biggest surprise, I think, in baseball so far.
Yeah.
The young guns, the young kids are doing well. Acuna is just lights out.
Yeah.
He's like, you know.
Albies.
Yeah, he's been amazing. But they're Ozzie Albies, you know, who saw the power coming? I never did. No. Happy that it's there.
I think he's at what his projection for the year was.
Yeah. I think he's at 10 home runs already.
Yeah.
But the pitching has been good. McCarthy's been decent. They that's been the biggest surprise is they were still, you know, an arm or two away. But I still think this is too early in the season to even consider them. You know,
contenders. I mean, they'll fade. They don't have all that you need. And I just think the Nationals, once the Nationals get healthy. Now, we say once they get healthy, but I will say the Dodgers situation
is perilous right now.
Like, if you don't get healthy, like the Dodgers, you know, the Dodgers started off the season projected for 99 wins.
Yeah.
And now they're projected for 85. Why is that, John?
Injuries.
Puig.
Yeah.
Justin Turner, Corey Seager out for the season. We'll talk a little bit more about later. Kershaw's on the DL.
Hill's been on and off twice.
He's been on and off. And when he's on now, he's only got like four innings in him and he's getting knocked around. And
yeah, I'm going to call it early. They're not going to make the playoffs.
Well, I wouldn't. They still have a lot of moves they can make. So I would say that this team will not make the playoffs, but you could easily. Like Puig's in the minor leagues right now, you know, doing a rehab assignment. You get him back up. They make a trade for Manny Machado. All of a sudden,
that would be a game changer for them.
That's what I'm saying.
Do that.
The question is, like, let me ask you this, John. What do you pay for 3 months of Manny Machado?
They're going to give up a lot.
But are they? Because remember what the Diamondbacks gave up for JD Martinez last year.
Well, but also remember what the Yankees got when they traded Chapman.
Right, but that was 2 years before.
Right,
and that was I always
a brilliant
think
trade.
The relievers will always get more value because it feels more like we're competing with everyone. But like, who else wants Manny Machado? Like, who else needs a shortstop or third baseman? There's no contender that needs one.
No, and I think it really what it's going to come down to for the Dodgers is, are they in the hunt?
Yeah.
Come the trade deadline. Because there were even some talk after Seager went down is that they're going to make the move now. It's like, no, they're not. It's too early to make the move now. But, you know, the Kershaw going down is a concern because it's now the third year in a row where he's gotten hurt early in the season. And who knows how long. And this was out of nowhere, too. Was it was it bicep tendonitis, I think? So, yeah.
Yeah, it's some sort of like not serious, but one of those things that leads to kind of serious stuff.
The back is the bigger thing with him. If he can keep his back healthy, then he's but his statistically, he's not looking overly good. Walks are up this year. You know, technically he's on the downside.
Yeah, but his walks are up because of that one game.
Six walks against the Marlins.
Yeah, that the previous three games he hadn't walked anyone.
Yeah.
And of course the Marlins came into town and
opened up a can of whoop ass.
Yeah.
So yeah, things are not looking good. They split 2-2 with the Diamondbacks the first time around, and they lost the opener last night.
Did they wind up losing last night?
I think was it two nights ago? No, I think
They lost the opener two nights ago.
I don't know.
On a close one.
It was 3-2 or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's right. Let me see here. I'm looking up the scores, John. But anyway, it's still like a good team. You get Justin Turner back very soon. I mean, Kershaw's going to come back. Yeah, they lost 8-5 last night to the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks have been killing them for like a year now.
Yeah.
Like, there's something like 15-3 against them over the last year. It's pretty crazy.
So are they 10 back now?
They are 9 back.
Still, that's not too far. I mean, when they get into the 15-plus range, then that would be a concern. But they're hanging at the bottom with the Padres right now, which is not a good place to be.
Yeah.
And they're a much better team than how they're performing. But there's so much pressure. In those big cities, there's just a ton of pressure to deliver.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I wonder if they'll be able to, like, they're a good team. And will they be able to, like, this is basically like the worst case scenario, like statistically, like projection wise, right? Like, oh, what if they lose a couple of 1-0 games on Joe Panic home runs?
Right. Yeah, that was no big deal.
Who would then not hit any home runs after that?
Yeah, and for the Giants to be on the plus side having their injuries, so they're going to be getting Bumgarner will be coming back pretty soon.
Yeah, and the Giants are still a bad team, but with the team that looks really solid is the Diamondbacks.
Yep, they do.
Now, is that because they have the Dodgers number figured out and they just keep being the Dodgers? Because if you take away if you even out that series, then they're just another mediocre team.
But they do have
something on the Dodgers right now.
And Goldschmidt going into last night's game was like 0-25. So he's been in a slump and they're still.
But that's what I'm saying. They're kind of, I'm not saying they're fluking into it, but when you win an extra innings game, that's a fluke, right? Because you could have lost at any point previous.
Sure.
So they're kind of fluking into some stuff against the Dodgers and lucky breaks and bad, good hops for you, bad hops for them, stuff like that. Like, I still don't think this is like the best team in the NL West. It's the team with the best record.
Right. But they could get better as the year goes on, too.
Yeah.
Pollock's having...
Yeah, I mean, they've Robbie Ray's out. He could come back. And
Pollock's having a great start.
But he's having a great start against the Dodgers. Like, he's killing the Dodgers. He's got like 6 or 7 home runs against the Dodgers.
So he's looking forward to...
So I'm saying, so if you take that out of the equation, what do you got? You got nothing. Wait a minute. Maybe you do have something. I don't know.
So the big the playoff baseball last night in the opener with the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Woof.
What a game.
Woof. 3-2. Another fluky win, right? Like either team could have won that.
Yeah.
Stanton with 2 home runs. Thanks a lot, Stanton. Finally wakes
lasers
up.
Lasers, too. The first one was just a line drive.
Yeah.
And
a little concern with Rafael Devers at third base, John.
Yeah.
It's a lot of errors.
How many does he have so far?
I think he's got 9 so far in 35 games.
That's not good.
That's on pace for something like 45 for the season.
That's unheard of.
That's a lot of errors.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Going back to last year, he's on pace for like 45 for the season.
It's been a trouble spot for the Red Sox for the last several years is third base.
Yeah. Well, they thought they had it covered with this. They had Travis Shaw, right? Mm-hmm. And then they were like, okay, well, we have Devers coming, so let's trade Shaw, to Milwaukee for Thornburg, who was immediately injured
within seconds of arriving.
Right? Like he landed in Boston and was like, ow, my arm. And then, so, but he's now finally coming back, so they'll get some value there, but certainly not the value that Travis Shaw has given the Brewers. Anyway, yeah, I mean, he's probably a DH, Devers is, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you can make him a first baseman. You know, when Hanley goes at the end of the year, if he does, you know, make him a first baseman and then put somebody at third, you know, like Manny Machado.
Could be.
That would be cool. But anyway, that's just whole my speculation. But the two best teams in the league, or two of the whatever, three or four best teams in the league going at it right now, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, it's exciting baseball for this early in the season. Yeah. You know, 5 weeks into it, it's exciting.
Yeah, because the Red Sox went 17-2 to start the season. The Yankees are on like a 15-1 streak. Yeah. It's really just two powerful teams.
Yeah. I think, you know, the World Series is going to go through one of those two teams.
Yeah. And the pitching for the Yankees, I mean, I still don't think their pitching is this good.
They need
when
more.
When Sabathia's got a 1 ERA, I mean, you're living right.
Sabathia,
you know?
And Gray are the two worrisome parts of their rotation. You know, Gray has given up a lot of runs, and the Yankees
and
are still winning.
They're all, except Severino is the only one who's actually pitching to his level, and he's like the worst pitcher they have right now.
Yeah, Tanaka just is either really good or really bad.
Yeah.
He's up and down completely every time out. Severino's,
and you never know if he's going to get injured next week or whatever.
Right. So. And he's on borrowed time too, because he didn't have the surgery. He had the rich platelet injections and just waiting for that one to try. I'm waiting for him to go on the DL so I could have like 10 people on the DL on my fantasy team.
you are going to set the record, John.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I saw someone else post on Twitter. They had a 12 team league. They had a more impressive list of injured players than you, but it was very similar. It was like Clayton Kershaw and Adam Eaton. And I was like, hey, roster looks familiar.
Yeah. I have just plummeted I went from scoring runs to just slowly falling down from 70 points down to 40 something now. Just, not good. Let's get back to our list here. I don't know anything about this. When did the Dylan Bundy fiasco happen?
Oh, last night, Dylan Bundy, who was looking like he was starting to come around this, you know, late last year, had some nice stuff. And this year started off pretty good. And the last couple starts were a little shaky. Last night, first pitcher in MLB history to give up 4 home runs and record no outs.
So 4 home runs in the first inning.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awful.
It's so bad. And like for a fantasy baseball team, which I don't have him on any teams because
that's a killer.
It's a killer.
Yeah.
Like it was like 6 or 7 earned runs, just like, but with no outs, like you just suddenly had more earned runs on your score, your stats.
And
brutal.
And that's a total reflection of the entire Orioles season. They are by far the worst team in baseball right now.
They're so bad. Right. And, again, it's like the Orioles, who have no tradition of doing fire sales, but like they have some stuff they could sell and get some pieces. But what are you going to do? Hang on to Manny Machado for the rest of the season?
No, they got to get rid
of him. And then get what? You get the compensation pick. So trade him for something better than a compensation pick. I mean, I think it can get more for him than JD Martinez, because JD Martinez had the problem of A, he was still sort of coming off injury, and B, he's not very good defensively.
And they can get more for him if they trade him now.
Exactly, because you're getting
a full season out of him.
You're selling more value.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That would make sense, because their season, you know, you can write them off. They're done.
Yeah.
And their pitching has been absolutely horrendous.
Yes.
I think Chris Tillman's ERA is over 10.
Yeah.
He's been awful.
And Cashner turned back into Trashner. Yeah. And
Buck Showalter, I feel bad for him.
And Dylan Bundy, I don't know if you heard, is the first pitcher in modern Major League Baseball history to give up 4 home runs and record no outs.
No. Jeez. Awful. So we talked a little bit about Corey Seager, but did you know anything about that? Did you hear any inkling at all that something was wrong?
I mean, there was stuff in the preseason that he was dealing with something, but it was like, oh, no, he'll be fine for the start of the season, and he missed the first couple games.
Well, remember the playoffs last year, he was out, right?
Yeah,
was that the same?
He was having some troubles.
Was that the same injury?
I don't know if it was the same injury, but it was probably connected. Yeah, whatever led to whatever, you know? That's like the thing with Kershaw where like, oh yeah, he's got some tightness in his biceps. Well, sometimes tightness in biceps then leads to,
right, you know, that's a bigger issue.
UCL sprain or ACL or whatever. Tommy John surgery.
But one of the things that with the new 10-day DL, it seems like everybody is fragile. Obviously, you know, reconstructive surgery is a big deal. But I felt a little twinge in my hammy, 10 days. A little tightness in my back, 10 days.
Yeah.
And who?
Well, also they've learned that if you try to play through that stuff, it wrecks the season, John. It's not like these guys are turning into wusses. The teams are like, well, wait a second. If he tries to play through a sore hammy, he could tear the hamstring and be out for the season.
Right, like the Dodger pitcher.
Which one?
Rue? What's his
name? Oh, yeah, Hyunjin Ryu.
He tore the hamstring off the bone.
Right.
How do you do that? I mean, picked him up a week later, he's out.
I mean, I've heard of doing that with like brisket.
Yeah,
maybe he was getting slow cooked.
Tasty. Delicious. That's a delicious hammy. Speaking of horrible injuries, Yadier Molina.
I thought
you were
going to say, like, speaking of Korean something.
Yadier Molina gets hit in the groinage area and has surgery the next day.
Yes.
That's an ouch.
That's not just a shot to the...
Right, the nads. Heart. That's definitely something you're going to feel for a while. But some sort of a swelling and blood, and let's get that taken care of. That's awful.
Yeah. Here's the thing, John. I'm not a big painkiller guy, right? Like, if I get a procedure and I need like a dental procedure, and they're like, "Hey, here's a prescription for Vicodin in case you need it."
I'm like, you know what?
I can take a little pain, or maybe I'll take an Advil or something like that. I'll take a little bit of the edge off. But I'm going to tell you right now, John. If a 100-mile-an-hour fastball gets fouled off into my nuts, I'm taking Advil and Vicodin.
And morphine.
You know what? Just put me in a chemical coma for 3 months till it's all good.
Yeah. No, that's a pain that not everybody can relate to unless you've taken one to the groinal area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took a hockey puck.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Youch. I'm just... wincing here.
I would say it was my worst miss as a street hockey goalie.
Yeah.
And that was my worst miss.
Yeah.
All the other goals that got by, I don't remember.
Cupless?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll ring your bell.
Yeah. I was out for the game, we'll say.
So the Dodgers and the Padres last weekend were in Mexico. It looked like they were playing on a cow pasture, based on the footage that I saw. The field looked like it was in horrible shape.
Yes, all the rain didn't help. It was kind of rainy. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting. You know, they're trying to make the game more international. They just officially announced that London game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then
with the Red Sox and the Yankees.
They had a combined no-hitter,
which if you add it together with James Paxton, you got a no-hitter in Canada. You got a no-hitter in Mexico and a no-hitter in the United States with Sean Manaea.
Yeah. A lot of no-hitters this year.
International no-hitters.
And Paxton is the first Canadian to pitch a no-hitter on Canadian soil.
Right. And what is it, the second Canadian since 70 years ago or something like that?
Wow. Yeah.
Some guy was born in Canada.
Yeah.
Pitched in 45.
He is only the second player to ever... follow up a 16 strikeout game with a no hitter. Last one to do that was Nolan Ryan in the 80s. Yeah.
I had just tried to trade for James Paxton in that league where I was selling off all my assets. And anyway, the 16 strike, I was like, this is a guy who's like been underperforming a little bit. And then that 16 strikeout performance came along. I was like, crap, forget about him.
The second to last pitch of the game was 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Something's
the
working.
Three fastest pitches of the game were the last three.
Yeah, he was pumping.
But he's never had a stuff problem. He's always had an injury problem.
Injury problem, and every once in a while he has trouble locating his off-speed stuff.
Yeah.
But when he's on, he's one of the top five pitchers in the game. We talked a little bit about him. Third no-hitter, third country this year. Oh, how about Roberto Osuna getting arrested for abuse?
Yes. Domestic. And apparently this is some people are saying it's domestic abuse, but the Canadian officials are not confirming that. But it's got to be that,
right? He got arrested. He did something.
Got arrested for one count of assault. If it was more counts, it would be at a bar fight or whatever.
Right.
He's 23 years old. This is really sad. Like, and I'm not just saying because he's on one of my money league teams, fantasy baseball teams, but also just like, come on, guy. 23 years old. What are you doing?
Yeah, I can't.
What are you doing? What are you doing with a woman? Why lock it down now?
Yeah,
this is
too
terrible.
Too young.
No, yeah, this is terrible. No, so, but the thing that bothers me the most about this is it's awful. But what should be the punishment, right? Like, he's going to basically now, they're not going to have a hearing on it till June. So nothing for him till June. Then once he does get, it does get determined, then, I mean, if he goes to jail, then he goes to jail. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they'll send a 23-year-old to jail. I don't know the particulars of the incident. But then you have he's Mexican, right? And I think he actually is from Mexico. I'm not just broadly saying Hispanics or Mexicans. Mm-hmm. Will Toronto let him stay in the country? Mm. Right? Yeah. Like, you don't just look at Jung Ho Gong.
Right.
He had DUIs.
Yeah.
I'm not saying DUIs are better than or worse. They're all terrible. Anyway, it's a real bummer. And I wonder if it had a little bit of an effect on the Blue Jays, who that night went out and got no hit by James Paxton.
Probably a little bit to do with it.
I'm just saying, 2% is all you need for a no-hitter. 2% difference between, like, you know, being 100% focused and being 98% focused. That's literally 2% difference. Though the 98% focus is the arbitrary part.
Yeah. He may want to give Ray Rice a call to see how, for some career advice.
Oh, man. Anyway, it's disappointing, but there's no part of me that's like, oh, this poor guy. Like, if you're doing that, F you. Get out of the league. Mm-hmm. Go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm at like zero tolerance.
Yeah.
I just like.
Not. I mean, especially for people, it should apply to everybody on the planet. But people who are in a position where they're under a spotlight, where they're making boatloads of money, where they, you know, climbed out of the you know, poor conditions and rise to this fame. Why would you ever do anything? That would be in the back of my mind every day. I'm not going to do anything to jeopardize this amazing
place that I am. But that's the big mystery, isn't
it,
John?
Yeah.
That's the big mystery. Why do people, he's a multimillionaire, or he's lined up to be a multimillionaire.
Right.
Like, he's just making the league minimum right now, right? Mm-hmm. Or with just a little bit more.
So yeah, so he's already made over $1 million.
Yeah. But, you know, he could have, like, if he makes it to free agency, the guy's making $15 million a year.
Yeah.
$1 million a year.
All right.
And then he gets all hot-headed and blah, 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 and then good. F you. Bye.
Yeah. Speaking of bye,
speaking of hot-headed.
Hot-headed, angry, disappointed, short fuse, fall from grace, keep going on and on.
Yeah.
So the Mets DFA Harvey, and after pouting and kind of going under the radar after his tantrum, apparently, traded to the Reds. Wow. Purgatory.
Right?
Yeah. But
you want to talk about like a revenge trade.
Yeah.
So the Mets, you don't want to play by our rules, Matt? Hi. How about Cincinnati? Right. I mean, he's not going to have any trouble with the nightlife, getting caught up in the nightlife.
No, not at all. Yeah, he's about one of the most benign places he could possibly go. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
He's going to get in trouble with that chili.
Right. But he's probably right now the best pitcher on the Reds team.
Hey, that's not nice. Luis Castillo is a great pitcher.
He's had a rough start, though.
But the last two starts have been dynamite.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fine. People gave up on him too soon. He's a great pitcher.
Yeah, it's still early.
Are they going to do? What are the Reds doing with this? Like, I mean, besides getting rid of Devin Mesoraco, which is something they needed to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who needs a change of scenery and probably a change of physician because he keeps getting hurt.
Yeah, he's been a huge disappointment. Five, six years ago, he was the top prospect in their system. And
And then 4 years ago, he was one of the best hitting catchers in the league. And then injuries.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if, I mean, when I'm thinking of places to go to reestablish your career, I would think that it's with a pitching coach that can really kind of take you to that level. I don't know if the Reds have that because they just fired theirs. So I'm not.
They literally don't even have a pitching coach. Do they? Maybe that's where he needs to go.
Maybe he calls all the shots. That's why he's probably happy there. He's like, I'll go seven, no matter what. It'll be interesting to see if he can. He's a major fall from grace, you know, not grace, but fall from the pedestal and the limelight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Purgatory.
Awful.
So Craig Kimbrel has become the fastest pitcher to reach 300 saves. That's pretty impressive.
Right. Roberto Osuna set the record for fastest to 100. But my guess is that will be as far as he gets.
Kimbrel's record is safe.
Yeah. From Osuna, anyway.
Right.
300 saves. In a way, you're looking at this guy, if he does this for what, like another 7 or 8 years? That's a Hall of Famer all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And I remember when he pitched for the Braves and he was just like electric.
Yeah.
He kind of diminished a little bit and they traded him to the Padres and he diminished a little more. And everyone thought like, oh, he's going to the San Diego stadium now. Like, well, now his numbers are going to be even more incredible. And they were not. He was not that good. And then the Red Sox traded, I think, Margot for him, right? Mm-hmm. Manny Margot. And then maybe another piece. Dubon, the shortstop, Dubon. Anyway, no one cares, Jed. Stop talking.
His knowledge is deep, folks.
And Kimbrel was excellent. He's been excellent for the Red Sox. And last year was almost perfect. And this year has been a little spotty and a little... The fastball's not quite there, but still doing those 3-strikeout ninth-inning saves. Pretty incredible.
Yeah. So I understand Patrick O'Conlin. It's the first Irish native. Oh, it's not O'Conlin. It's just Patrick Conlin. Yeah. First
Irish native. Call him O'Conlin, I think.
First Irish native to play in Major League Baseball since 1945.
Yeah. They're all after his lucky charms. His pitching performance was magically delicious.
So, I would have assumed that there's other Irish players. Surprise.
Yeah, but he's the first one where there was a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, John.
Let's hope he stays away from the domestic abuse situation so that he can...
Wow, is that anti-Irish sentiment? We haven't seen that in this country in a while.
I was more or less saying, like, let's not have another young star, you know, fall from grace type of thing.
Yes.
I wasn't picking on the Irish.
Okay.
Although that is easy to do.
Oh, I'm just saying, you know what? This country has a rich history of thinking that Irish people are awful, so...
Oh, they're just a lot of fun. They like, especially in Boston, you get the Irish crowd. They have a few beers, they have a good time at the ballpark. They beat a few people up after. It's all good.
Yeah. What team did he pitch for? I should have been the Red Sox though, right?
He'd be a superstar.
How'd they miss out on that? I mean, they don't even need to have him actually play. He could just like run around on the field.
Right. And they'd be standing ovations just for him, you know, doing calisthenics.
Yeah. It'd be like, he could be like a hype man, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He could
drive. For those listening who don't know that the ska bands have a hype man who's just up on stage. He's just having a good time. He's dancing.
And he could, drive around in the bullpen cart.
Right.
And just wave to the crowd. So that was the news this week. Colin McHugh was the first player to use the bullpen cart.
Right.
Because he was demoted to the bullpen, and he says, like, oh, I don't have any routine. Why not? Let's give it a whirl. I'll do it. So he broke the seal. I wonder if anyone else will follow. I'm sure some managers have some thoughts on that. Like, you get into that cart, you know, I'm going to push it to the back of the bullpen.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Back of the bullpen. Let's be careful with the words we're using here, John.
What?
Back of the bullpen?
The bottom of the
Rosa
bullpen.
Parks?
Oh, okay.
Let's be sensitive here.
Yeah.
Let's not show off our white privilege.
Right. That's true. My apologies. So that wraps up headlines.
It does, yes.
Yeah. So we're going to do some starting nine in honor of your trip to Disneyland yesterday. Nine players.
Wait, did we mention I went to Disneyland?
We did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I went to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Disneyland.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that was today.
Yeah.
So in honor of that, the trip, the fun times.
Yeah.
The navigating screaming children. Nine players with Disney names.
Right. Here we go. We got to start with Mickey because Mickey is Disney. So I got McKeenan Middleton. Okay. McKeenan Middleton. Sort of closer for the Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles or whatever that is. The easy one, Ariel Miranda.
Nice.
Right?
Right.
Simple.
Yeah.
Though I don't think we saw any Ariel at the... oh, no, we did. We did.
Yeah,
Ariel. We went on the Under the Sea thing. Yeah,
Ariel's always the hot one, right? Walking around scantily clad, blowing kisses. Oh.
No, we didn't actually see a
live action one.
We went on her little ride, the underwater ride with the singing crabs and the...
Great. Fun.
Yeah.
Did you have to wait in a long line?
And the sea witch that looks a lot like Steve Bannon.
Yeah, I can see the
good
design.
To see him getting some work.
Okay, next.
All right, next up is Padres reliever Adam Cimbarella.
Okay, nice.
Pirates reliever and hopefully future starting pitcher Tyler Glasnow White.
Glasnow White.
Yeah. Snow White.
Snow White.
Yes. Next up is Will Buzz Light Myers.
Okay, good.
Nelsa Cruz. Nelson Cruz.
Gotcha.
Elsa. All right.
Got it.
Yoan Princess Jasmoncada.
Princess Jasmoncada.
Yeah.
That's good.
Prince Charmling Marte. Starling Marte. It doesn't really. That's the worst one. Next one, Martin Donaldodano.
These are good.
Yeah. And last but not least, my favorite, Albert Winnie the Pooh Holes.
Finished strong. Winnie the Pooh Holes.
Yeah, I always it always ends with Albert Pujols.
It does.
It always ends with Pujols.
It does. That's good. Disneyland, folks, check it out. And the next time you go, you're going to be thinking of Albert Pujols.
Yes, Winnie the Albert Pujols. 3,000 hits.
Yeah, 3,000 hits and counting.
Yeah, 600 home runs. How many tubs of honey, though? That's the question.
How many?
Isn't Pooh
a honey?
Honey tubber.
He loves the honey, the honey pot.
I think Albert Pujols loves honey too.
I think he does.
I'm just gonna go out on a limb. Do you think he would mind if I called him Pooh Bear or something like that?
No, I don't think he'd mind at all. I'm sure somebody does. Somebody.
Some people say he's not the nicest guy.
Really?
Or I should say, not the. Maybe personally he is, but when it comes to people doesn't know and stuff.
Well, when I was at the game the other night, just before the warmups were all done and players went into the dugouts for the national anthem, Trout's out signing autographs along the
fence. Trout's the best.
It's awesome. Awesome.
That guy's ridiculous. Yeah. He's the best.
So it's like 10 minutes before game time, he's standing, down the third baseline signing autographs. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I'm just the best player. Here, you know what? I don't need to focus. I'm the best player.
Yeah.
Like, and he is. He's just the best player. Like, it's great.
Turns it on whenever he needs to.
It's really incredible. Yeah. What are we doing next? Do we want to do this power ranking thing?
Yeah, we got time. For that? Yeah, I think we do. Right. Let's do it. I tell me what you want to do. Are you doing it by division? Okay.
Yeah. Because I always see these people they do power rankings for the whole league, but like that doesn't help.
No.
But by division,
yeah,
we can do it. I think it helps. What division do you want to do first, John?
Let's do the NL East.
Okay, so power rankings. I've got the Nationals still number one. They're a game and a half behind Atlanta, but I've got them number one.
They're finally playing well, and they still don't have all their pieces back.
Right. Number two, I do have the Atlanta Braves moved up to number two ahead of the Mets.
Yes.
I've got the Mets, and then I got Philadelphia. And mind you, these four teams are all above 500.
Mm-hmm.
But part of that is because they get to play the Miami Marlins, who not only are the bottom of this division, but they are the worst team in the National League. Even though the Reds have a worse record, I do think that Miami is a worse team.
Yes. They're not scoring any runs and they're giving up a ton.
Yes. I feel like that's a bad combination.
Yes, it is. The run differential is not good.
Alcantara is supposed to be coming up soon, though.
Oh, yeah, good.
Blasting people away in the minor leagues. Yeah. Can we say that now is in this day and age? Blasting?
Yeah.
Striking people out.
Striking people. Whatever. Yeah. Blasting's fine.
Yeah. And then let's go to the American League East. Yankees, one. Close behind them, Red Sox, two. And then as the standings are now, Toronto, Tampa, and then Baltimore. And Baltimore is...
the worst team.
The worst team. And
in baseball. I think they're worse.
I think if you look at like their farm system and their future, I think this is the worst team in baseball. Yeah. Like their record is 8-27. That's terrible. And I think that's the worst record in baseball, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the worst record in baseball. But also to have like no real prospects coming.
Mm-mm.
And no, like, that's just a horrible position to be in. To
Someone's
be a bad
been asleep
team.
At the watch there for the last few years.
Yeah.
And they're talking about Duquette, he's done. And there's a lot of infighting now. There's no direction. They don't know what they are and what they're doing. And a lot of that's to do with Angelos, right? The owner.
Yeah.
He's a train wreck.
Yeah. He's a hands-on and he's got
and it's
greasy,
obvious.
Slimy hands.
It's not working. time to go back to the drawing board. But I mean, for them, they have to sell off everything and get a great haul to even be competitive in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
They're a long way away.
And who could they sell? Like they have so little. I mean, when what's his name comes back from the DL, the lefty closer, they'll get a nice piece for him if he can reestablish that, the strikeouts and the ground balls.
Zach Britton.
Zach Britton. Yes. And some of the relievers, Michael Givens, is having a real nice bounce back year, but Brad Brock is
awful.
Toast.
Yeah.
Absolute toast.
Went from being great the last two seasons to awful.
Yeah. Yeah. He was fading last year. There was a fadingness to him, and this year it's gone, which happens with relievers. That's why you shouldn't invest too much in them. But Michael Givens should get them a really nice piece at the trade deadline. Not necessarily like, you know, the Aroldis Chapman trade, mm-mm, but, you know, a top 100 prospect, you know?
Yeah, they got to do a lot more than that, though.
Yeah.
They need
you got to get rid of Machado. And I think maybe even think about trading Scope and just like sell high on Jonathan Scope.
That's the only thing they can do. They have to do that. That they have to get rid of the best players that they have right now. Otherwise, Scope's sitting there twiddling his thumbs for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Or three
and it's
years.
Not like he's a draw. You know what I mean?
No. No. Good numbers, but
yeah,
he's worth more to them.
Superstar.
He's worth more to them being traded than he is staying with them.
Yeah.
They need to, retool.
Next, let's do the NL Central.
Very competitive.
Very competitive. Again, four teams above 500. We talked about this at the beginning of the year. I said, you could have five teams at or around 500. I was a little wrong about the Reds. The Reds are actually much worse than I thought they'd be.
Mm-hmm.
But I was right about Milwaukee and Pittsburgh being good teams, even though people were poo-pooing my Pittsburgh pick.
Oh, alliteration.
Right? That was pretty good.
Yeah.
But I've got this right now. I've got Cubs, one. Oh, they're in fourth place. Okay. Did you see what they did to Milwaukee? Jeez. That was brutal. Snuffed them out. I've got the Cubs. I've got St. Louis, Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. And again, this is one of those where it's like, and Cincinnati is way down.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Milwaukee and Pittsburgh will stay around 500. One of them could pop up and, you know, there be a wild card.
Yeah, the Pirates and Braves are the two biggest surprises, I think, in the National League.
But, John, I just told you that I told you that this is what the Pirates were going to do.
You did?
Why would I be surprised?
I'm surprised.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say that you should be surprised.
Oh, okay. You know what? That's a great point.
I'm not correcting you, sir.
Okay, good. I am not surprised. But you shouldn't have been surprised because I told you, John. If I say, hey, look, there's a guy around the corner who's going to kill you, and then you walk around the corner and he kills you.
That's my fault.
You shouldn't be surprised. You should be like, yeah, oh, look at this. I'm dying here. Jed told me he was going to kill me. That's exactly right.
But still.
I'm not sure that's the exact correct corollary.
Yeah, the Pirates are, you know, they're when you look at their roster, nothing jumps out at you. They're just playing well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Losing McCutchen, losing Cole. You're thinking those are two of their marquee players. But yeah. There is something about, you know, getting the right group of guys together.
Yeah, also Cole just never was. I mean, what he's doing in Houston right now is just out of this world. I mean, he's a top five pitcher right now. It's ridiculous. He's
tarring up the ball.
Yeah.
His spin rate is astronomically higher than it was last year. So how did that happen?
Yeah. Well, whatever it takes, right?
Right.
Within the rules-ish. Within the rules.
Yeah. So Trevor Bauer throwing shade at Gerrit Cole for cheating. And then Bauer goes out the next game and his spin rate's up 300 revolutions per. So it's like, okay, so what's going on? Are you making a point?
Right.
Yeah. So.
Oh, so just in case people don't know what we're talking about there, when Gerrit Cole came over to the Astros from the Pirates, he isn't just pitching better, he's pitching differently. Has he acknowledged that he's been using more?
I don't think so.
Okay. So the sort of accusation is that the Astros tend to make their pitchers use less fastballs, but then also doctor the balls a little bit more than other teams to
To be fair, other teams do it as well. So it's kind
exactly.
of like
so it's just a more
unwritten
than not
rule,
not like, oh, the Astros are the ones doing it.
I mean, look at both Verlander and Cole. Verlander all of a sudden is back to Cy Young status.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been that way for the last 3 years. So, you know, whatever they're doing there, as long as they're doing it within the unwritten rules. You know, more power to them. So let's continue on with the AL West then.
Okay, AL West. Let's do. All right. So Houston, obviously, and I still think they're the best team in the league. Though I think their record is they got five more losses than Boston and the Yankees. Their problem is bullpen. If they can get. They might be the ones that get Michael Givens, or maybe they'll get Zach Britton or whatever. And they have the prospects to give. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing about the Astros is not only are they the best team with the best offense or one of the best offenses. And this is all opinion, right? It's not like they are the best and that's science. But they also have a very deep farm system with really quality players that they could trade away and it wouldn't really affect them because there's no place for them to play.
Right.
As it stands.
Yeah, for years too.
Yeah. For years, exactly. I mean, they got Kyle Tucker down there in AAA. They've got, was it Yordan Alvarez? Like, where's Yordan Alvarez going to play? There's no room. Tucker is supposed to be a top 10 prospect. Yordan Alvarez, top 20.
Dropping some knowledge, prospect knowledge.
It's a, what does it say? It's a, something of riches. It's a something of riches.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
They're rich. They're rich.
Yeah.
Head
deep,
to toe.
Deep.
Rich. Yes.
So who's number two?
Okay. So then I've got Angels and Seattle kind of neck and neck in second place there. And then Oakland's okay. And then Texas is bad.
And Texas said, needs to start. I remember, so you're loving on the Pirates. You were kind of not believing that the A's. And I was kind of saying, A's are a 500 plus team. And you were like, no, they're not that good. I don't think it's going to last.
I think 500 is their ceiling.
Yeah, it probably would be true.
I think that they're a 500 team because Texas is worse than I thought.
That's true. Texas is worse than everybody thought.
Yeah. So, like, I thought Texas would be, like, around a 500 team, but this is a bad team with injuries and underperformance. And we talked about they had no pitching. They still have no pitching. And they don't have any prospects coming that are pitching.
No.
And it's grim.
Yeah, not looking good. Bottom of the barrel. Let's move on to the AL West because I want to leave the NL.
Well, that's the AL West.
Or I'm sorry, the NL West. And let's leave the by far the most fun one to talk about for last.
Okay.
The AL.
So the least Central. Fun one we'll do now.
Yes.
Is the AL Central?
No, let's do that one last because that's the most fun one in my opinion.
Oh, okay, good. So then we'll switch back to the National League here with the
yes, National League West.
Let's do it. Okay. So the teams as they are currently constructed, I will say Arizona is the best team.
That's tough for you to say.
That is. I'm giving it the big caveat. And then I think that the next best team is the Rockies.
Ooh, wow.
And then the Dodgers, and then the Giants, and then the Padres.
It's really going to rub you the wrong way if the Giants make the playoffs.
The Giants, John, I would bet everything that I have the Giants will not make the playoffs.
Let's remember this, folks. Mark it down.
They just can't. Because first of all, they can't beat up on the Dodgers all year. But really right now, the Dodgers have been taking it from the Giants and the Diamondbacks. Yeah. Like, that's who's been beating them. Mm-hmm. So if they can just get away from those two teams, they'll be aces.
Well, they have the Padres that, you know, they should be able to make up some ground with.
And they have picked up ground while playing the Padres. And have they played the Rockies much?
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't even know if they played them yet. Yeah, they probably have.
Yeah, versus the West. This is crazy. They're the Dodgers are 11-16.
Ooh.
And so what's that means? They're 4-4 otherwise.
Bring on everybody else.
It's so bad. And they're actually winning against lefties, even though they have one of the lowest offensive productions against lefties, which is... been a big problem of theirs.
But this is my favorite division in baseball right now. The
under 500 leader?
Everybody is under 500.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
And this is what's going to happen is with all these terrible teams, you're going to get like really weird records for other people, other players, other teams like the Red Sox and the Yankees are going to have like these sort of disjointed, like how could they have that many wins? Well, they're in the same conference as, or the same league as the AL Central.
Yeah. And I think what's going to be a killer if this keeps up, and the Indians should get better when Miller comes back. They've been blowing a lot of games. He's been a huge loss for them. But if the Indians finish just above 500, there's going to be three or four teams that don't make the playoffs that have better records than the division champ.
I think they'll wind up at 500, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I think they will. I think they'll be above that. But I'm saying
I don't know if they'll go on a 22-game winning streak. But
yeah, probably not. But they'll probably make some... They've had some issues with their starting pitching injury-wise, which is always you know, a killer for a team that relies so much on that. And then having Miller out has been a huge hurt.
Also, you know, they lost two of their very good relievers last offseason and didn't really replace them with equal players, and then you lose Miller.
Yeah,
puts you in a tough spot. Maybe they go get Zach Britton or Michael Givens.
Yeah, they'll be busy at the trade deadline because they're going to win that division because there's nobody else that can.
Yeah,
the Royals are right up there with the Mariners, or right up there with the Padres, Reds, and Marlins as the worst teams in baseball.
Yeah, and the White Sox are terrible, which everyone knew was going to happen. The only team that's terrible that's actually done okay is the Tigers, but I think a lot of their wins have come against the Royals and the White Sox. Mm-hmm. So, like, okay, well, that...
And the Twins have been streaky.
There's other teams.
They lose four or five in a row, they win four or five in a row.
Yeah, exactly. So exactly. They've won five in a row now, and they're still under 500.
Right. Tells you what's going on in that. It's just really weird. I think I was reading somewhere that there's like eight teams that are on pace to lose 100 games this year. That's never happened before. Oof. That's crazy.
But it's the new league, right? Yeah. Like,
but there's a lot of talk about baseball has to fix this because fans are going to tune out if their hometown teams are tanking for the hope that they'll be better 3 to 5 years down the road.
Right.
So we'll see how that all plays out.
Yeah,
it was good. I like the power rankings by division much better than the big whole sum because like you said, what does that matter? Because you're playing the same team in your division, each of the teams in your division 19 times. That matters. So let's move on to extra innings.
Yeah.
Taking a look at what's going on outside the world of baseball.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little NBA hoop action. Some unbelievable.
I've been watching basketball, John.
Have you? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. LeBron, well, your parents are huge Warriors fans. So.
That's right. My parents are huge Warriors fans.
So you have to watch because they enjoy it and want to talk to you about it?
Whoa. Let's be clear. I am not watching basketball with my parents.
Oh, no. I know that.
Oh, okay.
To have conversations with them and engage with them and, you know, be a good son.
No, that's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because it's entertaining sport, John.
Yeah. Well, LeBron has been, I mean, if you're a hater of him, this postseason should change your mind. He has been unbelievable for an age 33 player to basically take over the way he has. And some of the shots that he's made, especially that one game winner off the glass, falling away with the opposite hand. But what?
I mean, it's a heck of a going away party for the for Cleveland, right? Like, before he goes off to the Lakers and joins up with Paul George and whatever the Lakers are able to keep on the roster.
Well, the thing about Toronto has to be just beside the city, the management, the players. It's like, how did this happen? We're the best team in the East. And for the second year in a row, we get swept.
Well, maybe when when LeBron goes to the Western Conference, then the Raptors will have a chance to get to the Eastern Conference
Finals. Well, because he has basically knocked out a ton of teams, you know, during his tenure in the East.
Yeah.
They were showing some statistics of the different teams that had been knocked out in the playoffs by a LeBron team, and it's staggering. It's like, well, as long as he's there, you know, these guys don't have a chance. And I think the Celtics could be vulnerable in the next round because they've got Irving's out. And you know, if they
did you see any of the game against the 76ers? I think it was game two where it was like the 76ers were up by like 22 points.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just fell apart and it was bad coaching. The Celtics went on a run and the coach didn't call a timeout. And even the guys at the halftime show were like, this isn't Phil Jackson's Lakers. You don't let them sort it out on the court. You call timeout. You talk to these young kids and you figure something out coaching wise, not like Zen master. Like, oh, we'll just play it out. They went from a 22 point lead to like a 7 point lead, 6 point lead at the half. Like that's in a quarter to lose a 16 point lead in a quarter in a playoff game.
Yeah.
And it was just like, they're just done.
Still, I mean, sliver of a hope, down 3-1. They're going into Boston tonight.
Yeah, and, sliver of a hope, sure. Yeah,
don't have much of a chance.
Yeah.
So Boston, I mean, the world will be rooting for the Celtics probably for the first time ever because they're one of those teams.
That's tough, though, right? This will be tough for a lot of people. Like, wait a second here.
because Celtics have been a much hated team over the years because of their dominance back in the 50s, 60s, and early 70s, and even during the Bird era in the 80s. So, yeah, they had a really good run for quite a long time. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if the they're Irving's out and Hayward, who played, 6 minutes this year. Those two guys on that team, Celtics are probably the best team in the East by far. But I forgot to mention the Rockets-Warriors. The
matchup Rockets.
Everybody wanted to see, and it has happened.
Yeah. Now, the question is, obviously the Warriors are the better team, but can the Rockets exploit the, I don't want to say lackadaisical, but like just the fact that the Warriors have been there before, like they're just not going to have the same drive. Like, can you out-hustle? Can you out all the intangibles and get past the Warriors?
The Warriors are just a fun team to watch. Harden and Chris Paul as like, they're just, they're agitators to me.
Right.
You know, Harden's a great player. Don't take nothing away from him. Paul's, I think, can be a great player, but sometimes lapses. But he had a great game the other night, 40 plus points. But I just, the Warriors are fun to watch. They're just fun to watch. And even though Draymond Green is a little bit of a, fly in the ointment for so many teams, a burr under the saddle, and as probably one of the more hated players in the league because he can be a little bit of a jerk.
Yeah.
But he just has a lot of fun out there. The whole team does. And yeah, I'll be rooting for the Warriors.
Yeah.
I would love to see another Warriors, as much as I hate to say it, Cleveland matchup so that LeBron can lose again in the finals. It'll be 2-7, something like that in the finals.
Yeah, but 9 times in the finals, John.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Incredible.
Yeah. I mean, there were some conversations, you know, there's still people who are saying that, you know, Michael Jordan's better. To me, I'm not saying that they're two different types of player, but you cannot say that Jordan is better than LeBron or that LeBron is better than Jordan. They're in rarefied air, the two of them.
Yeah.
Just dominance, you know, two players that dominated their eras. And no ifs, ands, or buts. I think they're two of the greatest players to ever play the game.
Absolutely.
So this is something that would go right off of my radar because I could care less about UFC, but ESPN paying some big, big money.
Right. Well, not just ESPN, ESPN Plus, which is their new streaming service.
Oh.
So you know they've been like losing subscribers all over the place, right. People cutting their cable.
Right.
And ESPN's been one of the hardest hit, and they're losing just fist loads of cash on the football deal that they did, the Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. So here was their big play, was to go streaming and then make this UFC deal and just, I mean, it's like a hail, it's almost like a Hail Mary pass here. It's like, okay, so it's a 15 fight cards a year. So what's that, 4 or 5 fights for $750 million?
So as much as I don't like UFC, apparently a lot of people do.
Right, but they're basically saying, we're going to pay you $50 million per night.
And it's a pay-per-view, I'm assuming, the ESPN Plus.
No, it's a streaming service.
But you're paying for it.
Yeah. Sorry. It's a paid streaming service. And you don't get it if you have ESPN.
Right, you have to pay for it.
Get
right.
it separate. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of, you know, some of the biggest box office, I guess you call it, for revenue is for the pay-per-view boxing matches.
Yeah.
Biggest money in sport.
Yeah. And the question is, will enough people sign up and stay signed up that this is I'm sure they ran the numbers, but wow. That's a big play right there, man.
Yeah. We'll see how
that's
that
like
out.
Yadier Molina sized balls, you know what I'm saying?
So this next one
pre-surgery.
John, pre-surgery. Pre-surgery, right. Right after the foul tip.
Yes.
So this next thing, I'm shocked to know that to read this because I just assumed Roman Polanski was booted from the Academy decades ago.
Yeah, he's outraged, by the way.
Is he?
He's outraged.
So Roman Polanski and Bill Cosby both booted from the Academy. Yeah. No surprise for Cosby. Yeah. Shocked that Roman Polanski wasn't, you know, gone years ago. He's not allowed to step foot in the United States, so...
Right. I mean, really up until a couple of years ago, there's been some pretty strong support for Roman Polanski in Hollywood. But it's his indiscretion is a pretty criminal offense that's been pretty well laid out, regardless of whether the victim of his offense is later like, yeah, no, it was cool. Like, yeah, sorry, that just in this country, you don't get to make that choice. This isn't France. Of course, that's part of the reason he's in France, right? The age of consent there is 13. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Roman. You made some good films. Go away, please.
Yeah. And he's outraged.
Yeah, and he is outraged. He's going to sue. He won't, of course, show up in any of the court appearances.
No.
Because then they'll throw him in jail. But he's not that outraged. He's not that principled about this.
So he's just having a little bit of a hissy fit.
Yeah, he's having a hissy fit.
Do you know who I am? Like a teenage girl.
Ironically, like a teenage girl. You know what? He's going to try to have sex with himself. He's going to drug himself, and then he's going to have sex with himself.
Or Bill Cosby.
Well, yes.
Speaking of drugs. So, yeah, we never talked about that. Bill Cosby, you know, threw the book at him, right? Did we talk about that a couple weeks ago? I don't remember.
Yeah, you know, I didn't follow... like the particulars of that trial, with there's the bandwidth needed for all these things. But yeah, he was found guilty.
80 years old.
I don't think he did not take it well as well also. And of course it'll be appealed and, you know, maybe there was some sort of, I don't know, political error to some of the findings. So some of the stuff I saw was like a little bit, like one of the jurors said that they found him guilty because he said that he did give them the girls Quaaludes. Mm-hmm. But like, do the jurors not know that in the 70s, literally, like that was a plus in a relationship for a woman? Like, oh, I'm sorry, a guy gives me free Quaaludes?
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
How can I marry this guy? Hey, you know what? Maybe I'll go out on another date with him, which a lot of these women did. So it's a very strange thing, and I think sort of in a vacuum, it's a open and shut thing, but I think in the context of the time, it's not quite so simple as, like, well, he drugged them and had sex with them.
So, yeah, sad, but, you know, you're not above the law. You're not, something special, so you get what you deserve. And finally, to wrap things up here, we have Taylor Swift announced the end of her feud with Katy Perry.
John, when we started this show, I said, we've got good news and bad news. This is the good news.
Oh, it's good?
Yes.
And why is that?
Years of turmoil.
Now they're BFFs?
Yeah, no. Oh, I don't know about that. My only concern here is after this feud is finally put to rest and the fan bases can come together and love each other and love themselves, really, and let go of all this hate. My concern here is that, is Katy Perry going to be upset that Taylor Swift made the announcement?
Ooh, new feud.
I'm just saying, new feud. Boom.
How dare you? Did you consult with me? Did your people consult with my people?
You should have asked me.
If we were done.
Feud back on.
That's funny. Taylor Swift is actually going to be here in Seattle, I think, next week, over the weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. Playing to a sold-out CenturyLink Field where the cheapest tickets were $120.
Wow.
That's crazy.
She's like her own, like, she's got her own
gross domestic product.
Yeah, gross GDP, yeah, right?
She's a force, that's for sure.
Wow. Impressive.
So what's coming up next?
When Goofy tries to get Mickey to trade away Mike Trout, things get animated on the next Disney's Fantasyland Baseball.